them. I go into bookshops, pick up the books, and I smell them. People think I'm a bit weird, but I love a good book. However, I recently got a Kindle, and I'm enjoying that too. So now I'm torn. A good book or the electronic Kindle? Got some new trainers the other week. I do like my trainers. However, I've only worn them a few times, but look, frayed laces. You don't get the quality these days, do you? Chocolate bunny. I do love my chocolate. However, sometimes I fancy a bag of crisps instead. Does anyone get that? Or a packet of nuts. Or a piece of toast. Or a bowl of cereal. Electric toothbrush. Does anyone have one of these? I do love this. You feel so fresh when you've used one. More than with your normal toothbrush. However, you do have to remember to charge it, which I find a little bit irritating. So I've taken to using a normal toothbrush at the moment. I swap between the two. So, my point being, I love all these things, but I can take them or leave them, or some I'm disappointed with, or some don't quite do what I want them to do. And, you know, it made me think that sometimes, although we're told that God loves us, we sometimes think he might look at us how I look at these things. Well, they're not really doing what I want them to do. Or, oh, sometimes I love them, but sometimes I'm a bit disappointed with them. Oh, the quality's not really there. You know, we think that God might look at us and think, I do love you, but that's not true. The Bible tells us, and a lot of experience tells us, and history tells us, that God loves us completely. No ifs and buts, no problems, nothing. He loves us completely. And so as we gather together, though we may be few, we gather knowing God loves us, whether we sit here feeling on top of the world, or whether we're feeling a little bit down, or whether we're thinking he could never love me. God loves each and every one of us. And we're going to sing about his love now. So let's stand together and sing our first song, which I think, due to our small numbers, we have to sing really loud, just to fill this whole space. It's Give Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. So let's stand together and let's sing together. I'm going to read from the passage which we're looking at today. If you've been here in the last few weeks, then you will know that we've been looking at the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection from the dead. And we have looked at his appearance to Mary outside the tomb, and to the disciples when they were locked in a room together, and then to Thomas as he wasn't with the disciples when Jesus first appeared. And then last week we looked at Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee as he enabled them to catch a miraculous amount of fish. And we're following on from that as they continue to sit by the shore and Jesus speaks to Peter. I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 21, and I'll start at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. I was looking at the, you'll find this quite odd here by the way I imagine, but I was looking at the sporting calendar of things that are coming up in the summer. Anyone else ever done that? Oh, Rachel. Yay. And there's lots of things happening. World Cup's coming up, there's the Commonwealth Games. I also noticed there's the Hockey World Cup. Anyone been aware of this? I've become aware of it because when I was younger, I had a hockey incident. I thought that I was fairly good at hockey. We used to play at school every now and again. And I enjoyed it. And I thought, well, this is a sport that I could play. Trouble is, back in the day, we used to play on grass, normal grass, you know, like a field. And so it wasn't this AstroTurf, or it wasn't even mowed. In fact, it was like, you know, a meadow. And so we'd just go out there at school and the teacher would teach a few things and then we'd have a game for hockey. And I thought, this is good, I'm good at this. And me and my friend Rachel, we used to play on the same team. But one day, disaster struck. I was bombing down the outside. I don't know what you call it because I'm not really very good at that. And I lifted my stick, as I don't think you're supposed to, above shoulder height for this big hit into the centre. People are shaking their heads at me already. Oh, Kate, this is a disaster. And I hit the ball and, oh, it was a shot. And I swung my, what do you call it, stick up. And my friend Rachel happened to be just a little bit behind me. And, well, long and short of it is I broke her nose. But see, thing is, I didn't break her nose on the way up. I sort of hooked, broke her nose on the way down. Not that it matters, still broke her nose. And she was there, blood, everything. And I felt awful. She was my best friend at the time. I just felt awful. And she was off school the next day. And then I got home and my mum said, you know, Kate, I think what would be good, because Rachel's going to be off school for quite a long time, you know, it's quite a serious break. It'd be really good if you took her some schoolwork every evening, just to, you know, show that you're sorry and help her to... So I said, okay, so I got her schoolwork and I went round her house, rang the bell and went into the room and there she was with this plaster cast all over her nose, swollen eyes, black eyes. And I just felt awful. I was mortified. And I had to go in there for 5 weeks, every day. Hello, Rachel. Here's your homework. I'm so very sorry that I broke your nose and smashed up your face. It was awful. I just felt terrible. It was an accident, but I felt terrible. And I don't know whether anyone else has had a similar experience like that. You probably haven't broken someone's nose, don't get me wrong. But I wonder whether any of us have done anything which we've then been ashamed of for quite a long time. Only to find that sometime later we have to come face to face with that very thing we've done again. I don't know whether anyone's had that, but I have. It's not a nice place to be reminded of your failings or your mistakes or the things that have hurt other people. It's not a place you want to revisit. And often we try our best to avoid reminders of the things we've done wrong. And so here, as we look at the story of Peter on the beach with Jesus, we may well find that actually we have sympathy for this disciple. Because just before Peter eats breakfast with Jesus, Jesus engages him in conversation. And Jesus engages him in conversation. Sorry. Peter arrives on the shore. This was last week, if you were here. And he's had a long night's fishing. And he is excited to see his Lord, finally. But when he arrives on the shore, instead of being greeted with a hug and a celebration, here we are, I'm alive, excellent, Peter finds a scene that transports him back to a time in his life he never wanted to be reminded of again. Because as Peter comes out of the sea, just as dawn is breaking for another day, he comes face to face with a recent memory. Or if you like, he comes face to face with his worst nightmare. For as he walks up the beach to greet Jesus, he finds Jesus standing round a fire of burning coals. And suddenly, Peter is transported back in time. I'm just going to take this because it's distracting me. I do apologise. He's transported back. I don't even think it was that. He's transported back to a very recent memory. cold night a few weeks earlier, another fire, a courtyard full of strangers, and a question from people who start to say, "Aren't you a follower of that Jesus?" And then he hears the sound of a cock crowing three times. You see, as Peter walks up the beach, he's taken back to the very night he hoped he would never have to face again, the night that he denied knowing the Son of God three times, the moment that he failed so dramatically. And so you can imagine that when Peter smells the smoke and sees the fire after a long night fishing, just like when I walked into the living room and saw my friend Rachel's face, he's absolutely mortified. His heart must have sunk to his boots. He must have thought, am I going to be remembered for denying Jesus Christ for the rest of my life? Is this the story that is always going to be told about me? Oh, Peter, he's the one that said he didn't know Jesus. Is this the failure I will always be remembered for? It must have been the most terrible feeling in the world. This is what my life will be now. He's brought face to face with his most shameful memory. But then we get to the passage today. As they're having breakfast and they've finished cooking around that fire, and Jesus turns to Peter and he asks him a question, another question around a fire. But this time it's a question that will change Peter's life for good, because Jesus looks at him and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" As the sun rises, and as breakfast settles in the stomach, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" I don't know about you, but Peter's stomach must have lurched a little, because this is Peter. Peter, also known as the Rock, the disciple who had once said to Jesus, if you remember, "Even if all others fall away, I will not. Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will never disown you." This is Peter. Peter the Rock. The one who once said, "I will lay down my life for you," to Jesus. And here he is, sitting around a fire, reminded of the time he threw those words away. He denied knowing Jesus at all. And Jesus looks at him, and the only question he asks is, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because at the end of the day, even though there are a number of questions Jesus could have asked, even though there are a number of answers Jesus could have wanted from Peter, like, "Why did you turn your back on me when I needed you? Why did you make promises you couldn't keep? Why did you never listen to what I said to you? Are you sorry? Can I trust you ever again?" Even though there are any number of questions Jesus could have asked Peter after his momentous failure, and quite frankly, I would have been dying to ask those questions to someone, all Jesus says is, "Do you love me?" Because above all other questions, this is the most important one. Because at the end of the day, as Jesus faced Peter, this is the only question that truly matters. Because you see, if Peter from then on is going to live his life for Jesus, if he's going to be a follower of God, a true disciple, which is what Jesus wants him to be, then answering numerous questions about his failings, being dragged over burning coals, so to speak, to prove that he learned from his mistake, well, that's not going to help him. And being bombarded with question after question after question to show he's truly sorry for what he's done, well, that's not going to prove you'll never mess up. Because you see, if Peter's going to live his life for God to the point that one day he might have to give his life for God, which is what Jesus implies at the end of the passage, then the only thing that's going to sustain him, the only thing that could possibly motivate him to give everything he has, the only thing that will be a solid enough foundation from now on, is the answer to the question, "Do you love me?" And you know, in the same way, as we sit before God in our various states of failure, that might be quite a negative way to put it, but you know, if as we sit before God knowing we've made mistakes and knowing we're going to make mistakes again, Jesus doesn't demand answers as to why we act as we act. He doesn't sit there and question us about our failure. Why did you do that? Why did you never listen to me? He doesn't want to dissect our fears and our weaknesses and our moments of devastation that we carry around with us. Instead, he wants an answer to the most important question of all, which is simply, do you love me? Because at the end of the day, if we are to be people who live our lives for God, if we're to be people who truly follow him every single day, then we have to live out of a love for him. Not out of duty or guilt or habit, but out of love. Because then when we make mistakes, which we will, and when we find life hard, which we do a lot of the time, and when we feel we want to give up, we'll be able to carry on. Because we live our lives built on love rather than anything else. And that's why when Peter confirms that he loves Jesus, when he answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus doesn't simply pat him on the back, give him a handshake, say, all right, then, we'll put it behind us. Don't worry. Let's just carry on as we were. He doesn't say, okay, it's fine. Instead, he says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. Instead, Jesus says, okay, then, follow me. If you love me, then follow me. Or if you like, Jesus echoes the words he first said to Peter all that time ago when he called him as a disciple by the Lake of Galilee, by this very sea. He said, follow me. Only this time, Jesus is not calling Peter to watch and to listen and to look at what Jesus did. Instead, he's asking him to join in, to share, to do the work that Jesus has done, to carry it on. Jesus is choosing to share his ministry, his work, with a man who just a few days earlier had denied knowing who he was. And you know, I think that's amazing, because there's not many people in the world who would do that. If you mess up, you mess up, and you have to give up your job, because that's what you do. But God says, okay, you've messed up, but do you love me? Well, come on then, join me. Have something greater to do. Have something better to do. Have something bigger to do. And I think that's amazing. Because, you know, although we continually mess up, I mean, I could just be talking about myself, but I doubt it very much. Although we continually mess up, and some of us, in the most horrendous ways, we break people's noses, instead of choosing to interrogate or punish or relegate us to the bottom of the heap, instead of treating us the way that we're tempted to treat other people who do the same to us, Jesus asks, do you love me? Do you love me? And he continues to ask it because we continue to make mistakes. And if we have the courage to say, well, yes, I do, even if we're timid or a little bit unsure, then he invites us to join him. Come on then, join me in what I'm doing. Join in. Don't just sit and watch and learn, but come on, join in and do it with me. And you know, I think if we really took that on board, that God is asking us to join in with him in what he's doing, then it would change our lives. It really would. It wouldn't just be, oh, let's go to church, or, oh, let's do this, we really should, because that's what we're supposed to do. It would change our lives. It would make us feel different. Peter ended up going from a failure, a complete failure, to following God and giving his life for God because he loved him more than anything else in the world. Here on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus changed Peter's life for the second time. And it's the same today for us as we sit before him, that no matter what we've done, no matter how we feel, no matter where our lives are at, he can change our lives too. For the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, I don't know, for the first time. All we need to do is honestly answer the question that he asks, do you love me? Do you love me? Let's just have a moment of quiet together. We're going to sing our final song together this morning, which is Show Me the Way of the Cross, really to highlight the way that actually when we follow Jesus, when we answer, yes, I love you, it's not easy. and it's a commitment to follow him with the whole of our life. So let's sing our final song together. So as we offer our lives to Jesus, may we know his deep love for us. As we walk with him each day, may we know his strength. And most of all, when he says, "Do you love me?" may we be able to answer yes with our lives. May God bless us and keep us and walk with us. Amen.